This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Whether you believe in ghosts, spirits, and the supernatural or not, you'd probably agree there are places in Greater Cincinnati where most of us would prefer not to spend the night alone. Haunted? Maybe. Unnerving in the dark? Definitely. Later in the show, we'll talk about why we enjoy a good scare. But first, here to shed some light on places around town rumored to be home to an otherworldly presence are Phil Nuxall, historian, author, and tour coordinator at Spring Grove Cemetery, Scott Santangelo, director of operations at Music Hall, and Rick Fembers, who investigates rumors of supernatural activities around town and reports them on his website, Creepy Cincinnati. Are there local sites you think are haunted? Give us a call at 513-419-7100. Or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And everybody, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Rick, why in the world did you get started doing this in the first place, checking these places out, writing about the various creepy stories that surround Cincinnati?
I've always loved these ghost stories. Whether you believe them or not, there's just something about them that I was drawn to. Me and my brother-in-law several years ago just kind of got the idea to start going out at night, checking these places out, testing out the urban legends, stuff like that. And here recently, my wife, she's been joining me and make it a family affair and have some fun with it.
Oh, that's really neat. So you actually spend the night at some of these places?
We have before, or other times it'll just be a matter of, say, going out, checking out a haunted street at 3 in the morning, something like that. So,
How exactly do you conduct an investigation? What kind of research goes into that?
I wouldn't really... Investigation, like you see on a ghost hunter show, is not really what we do.
Quite what you do.
No, it's more just we'll hear urban legend about if you go to Lick Road and park your car and flash your light 3 times that an apparition will show up. So we'll just kind of drive out there in the middle of the night, sit there and try that out and see what happens. And from there, I personally like to know how these legends got started. So that's where it's actually just a matter of research. Go to the library, check old newspapers, see if you can find any truth behind the stories.
Well, so more often than not, these stories, when you check them out, they turn out to be just that, a story, correct?
Correct. For the most part, there's just something some kid started somewhere in the past, and it's just kind of spread and grown.
It's still interesting, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, still interesting. I still love doing it, and I'm always hearing new places that can't wait to go check out.
These stories seem to take on a life of their own, don't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And depending on where you grew up in town, the stories are usually different. People can be pretty adamant that you've got it wrong when you tell a version of it, because that's not what they heard growing up. But yeah. It's different everywhere.
Well, that's the truth. Where I grew up, it was the Screaming Bridge on Maude Hughes Road.
Right.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay, Phil.
Oh, my God.
That's the one that we... That's right, because you're up from my neck of the woods.
Yeah.
That's what we always heard was about the Screaming Bridge.
Right.
And there are a lot of different stories surrounding that, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. I could think of 3 right now. A woman threw her baby off the bridge, and it's her and the baby you hear crying. Another one is they broke down on the bridge, and the boyfriend was found hanging from it the next morning. Another one was a school bus drove off the bridge. And it, again, just depends on who you ask.
So. And Phil, did you find this to be the case when you were growing up, that was a place where there were numerous pranks, especially around Halloween?
Maude Hughes Road was the place to go if you wanted to get freaked out.
Right.
Because there was some story about some dead body. Like when you go to Maude Hughes Road, you go at night, you turn all the lights off in the car, so you're sitting in pure darkness, and something about some dead body is laying on top of the car with the ring, and the body taps the ring on your windshield. I mean, I truly freaked out.
Some friends of mine, one year, hung a stuffed dummy from the side of the bridge, and that just created pandemonium for an entire week. Rick, any idea how many haunted places are around Cincinnati, particularly the ones that you've investigated and written about? It's pretty countless, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I couldn't even put a number on it. I mean, we've probably been to, I'll say, 50, and there's probably at least another 50 that we haven't been to yet. Like I said, we're learning new ones every day.
That's incredible. Scott, one of the places that has a reputation for being haunted, it's also a place of great beauty and culture. It's one of Cincinnati's icons, Music Hall. And some claim that there's something haunted going on there. What are those stories?
Well, absolutely. And you make me feel like I've led a sheltered life. I didn't know about the bridge and, who stole my golden arm was about as far as I went in my youth. But Music Hall's very different in many respects from the other stories that Rick mentioned. Those facts are very well known. There's a clear history. The music hall is built on a pauper's field or a burial ground for the poor. Across the street, Washington Park was originally formal cemetery ground for three churches and over the Rhine. There was a hospital behind the building, also housed a lunatic asylum. There was an orphanage on the site. It was later used as a pest house. So the connection with all of those pieces of Cincinnati history have contributed to many of the stories that actually are quite consistent over the years, and it's not any one incident. So I think that's what causes people to be fascinated with the building.
Absolutely. And Rick, doesn't Music Hall have a reputation as being one of the most haunted places in the country?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I get messages from people in California and Texas asking about Music Hall. Unfortunately, I haven't had the chance to be there myself, but yeah, I get a lot of questions about it.
Is this someplace you'd eventually like to check out and investigate?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.
I think we can work that out.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation, tell us what your favorite haunted places in the Cincinnati area. Phil, this kind of surprises me, although I don't know why I should be surprised. It is a cemetery, after all. But Spring Grove, it's such a beautiful, peaceful place to visit and take a walk. But I guess there are bound to be some spooky stories surrounding it.
The only spooky stories that I know of were kind of passed down through generations. And there aren't very many that I know of. The Dexter Mausoleum, very gothic, beautiful piece of architecture. Supposedly, I think that's where white dogs come out at night and their eyes turn red, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, not as many ghost stories as you usually hear about in the rural burial grounds and cemeteries, because everybody's happy to be there in Spring Grove.
Absolutely.
That's our story.
We have many satisfied customers.
Yeah. I've only had one kind of creepy thing happen to me in Spring Grove. Want to hear about it?
Sure. Well, that's the
there
whole idea
is,
today. Tell us the
yeah,
story.
Yeah. There is just kind of a very modest marble obelisk in a certain part of the cemetery. And there's this very beautiful scrolled piece of porcelain, and in the middle of it is this little window, and you kind of put your finger on the window and scoot it to the side, and there's a mirrored actual like daguerreotype of this beautiful Victorian woman. And one time I took a picture of it, and when I got the pictures back, you know, this is back when you had to take your film to the drugstore, there was a male figure like behind her. And it's not there. Well, you know, when I took the picture, it's just the woman. And I cannot explain it. That's it. I've never, you know, I was telling these guys I've been there in the middle of the night and have never seen anything or felt anything. Darn it.
When you look at things, sometimes you get pictures from people. They claim there's a ghostly image in the picture. How do you treat those, Rick?
I put them up on the website and let everybody else decide for themselves. I mean, especially today with the Photoshop and everything else, it's pretty easy for somebody to try and pull one over on you. Oh, I trust you, Phil.
Actually, we've had several of those photos. Some of them are harder to debunk than others. And we had one lady submit a photo from a concert event, and a woman in front of her had her hair up in a bun. And she had taken a photo of the stage, and looking at this swirl of hair, you could either see a skeletal face, a little child, and other people saw other things. And I think that's a phenomenon known as pareidolia, where the mind assigns form to randomness, like the crater on the moon that looks like a South American head.
I have severe pareidolia.
Scott, you have creeped me out with that. Rick, there are quite a few haunted stories surrounding cemeteries in the Cincinnati area. What are some of those?
Let's see. You got the in Miami Town, the cemetery there on 128. There's a woman in white seen running through the cemetery in the middle of night. The Hatchet Man in Trenton.
Trenton Hatchet Man.
Yes. That story's kind of strange, but supposedly the caretaker at that cemetery was murdered by a madman with a hatchet, and now that same caretaker haunts the cemetery carrying the hatchet, and if you step past the property lines at night, he'll chase after you with that axe.
I have an aunt and uncle that live next door to that cemetery. Oh, really? I've never heard this.
Are they joggers?
Yeah, I got to look into that.
You actually made a trip to the cemetery up there, didn't you?
Yeah.
Checked it out?
Yeah, we did. My biggest problem with that one is part of the legend is there's a mausoleum where you'll see hatchet marks on the door where he's beat his axe against the door. There's no mausoleum in the cemetery, so it kind of discredits the story a little bit.
That's a fatal fall in the story.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm curious, Phil. Do you walk around the cemetery at night?
Well, not normally. You know, I mean, usually a few times during the year, like after an evening tour or something like that. Oh,
It's dusk though. It's not completely dark at that point.
Oh no, I've been there. Pitch dark, pitch black. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And it's a cemetery.
I know. Well, you know, I look at it this way. By the time the deceased get to the cemetery, you know, ghost stories, as far as I know, happens when something tragic happens to the person, you know, in that spot, in that house. But by the time the body gets to the cemetery, it's over with. I don't know. What do you guys think?
That's a common thread. There's usually something horrible that happens, and that's where these stories evolve.
Right. Yeah. Actually, think about it. A cemetery would be the last place you'd expect to see.
That's how I rationalize it. Right. Yeah. As disappointing as that is. You know, we give children student tours, and they're just so disappointed when I don't come up with ghost stories. Like, aw. That's why.
What kind of historian are you,
Phil? Yeah, right.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. We're going to take a short break, and we'll share some more stories of the supernatural after the break. And you can tell us about your favorite spooky places at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. With Halloween on the way, we're sharing ghost stories this afternoon. My guests are Phil Nuxall with Spring Grove Cemetery, Scott Santangelo, Director of Operations at Music Hall, and Rick Fembers, whose website is Creepy Cincinnati. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Rick, what about the subway, City Hall? Those all have some kind of a haunted story background to them, don't they?
Yeah. The subway, for obvious reasons, that aren't able to get into or anything like that. But there's stories of people that were killed when it was being constructed that supposedly still haunt the place. And same with City Hall. Obviously, the building's been there a long time. There's more than a few ghosts roaming around those halls, supposedly.
One of my favorite stories that I read on your website was the Loveland Frogman.
That's an old one.
Absolutely strange. That's a really old story, though, isn't it?
That's an old story, and there's really not been a lot added to it over the years, but it's managed to stick around. Long story short, a policeman back, I believe it was in the 70s, I'd have to check my notes, driving along, seen something laying in the road, and when he stopped to get out and check it, he says it was a frogman, man-sized, web fingers, web toes, leathery skin, and as he approached it, it jumped over the rail down into the river, and the story's just kind of kept going since then.
I think I read the last alleged sighting of the frogman was 1972, right?
That sounds about right, yeah.
As you're saying, though, the story just seems to keep going and going and going.
Yep.
Did you actually go down to the river and take a look for yourself?
Actually, we did. It's been a few years. We went down there. The old "Hey Froggy, Froggy" looked around. The only thing we got for our troubles was a speeding ticket that night. So.
It was Jim Tarbell.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! 513-419-7100. Let's talk with Mark in Dayton. Good afternoon, Mark. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hey, good afternoon. I just wanted to relay a quick ghost story I had involving the cemetery. I was relatively new to Cincinnati and took a drive out there to see the sites. And as I pulled into the cemetery and started going down one of the streets, and it was just beautiful. It was a nice spring day and flowers are out. I looked over at a tomb, and there was a guy dressed up in a Civil War uniform. And I thought, oh, my God, for the first time I'm seeing a ghost. And then it slowly dawned on me this was an actor that was given a history. just a brief moment, it was like, oh, my goodness.
And, Mark, this happened at Spring Grove. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, now you feel
relatively where they, you know, have folks dressed up in period costumes.
Yeah, those were History in Bloom Day, which is very popular.
Yes, and I found out that about that the hard way.
Oh, that's great.
Well, you just made Phil feel a lot better. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks.
All right, you folks have a good day.
You too. Happy Halloween. 513-419-7100 if you would like to join our conversation. You know, we're talking about the frogmen, and that seems to be a common theme for creepy stories, because doesn't West Virginia have a Mothman story?
Mothman, yes.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, that goes back to the 60s. A bunch of kids out in the woods one night, and they say they were attacked by a man-sized creature flying with red eyes. I think they said it looked more like a bat, but that name was taken, so they went with Mothman instead. But then about a year later, you had the Silver Bridge collapse, killing 40-something people.
And they blame Mothman for that?
A lot of people claim they saw him on the bridge before it collapsed. Some say he was trying to warn people. Others say he caused it. So,
Scott, are a lot of the people who are music hall patrons, are they surprised when they find out that music hall has this reputation for being a haunted place?
Not really. Most people are aware of the cemetery history, and I think in the past it wasn't as popular as it is today to share your experiences. And we're having a lot of people come forward and say, you know what, I did have this experience, and I really haven't ever told anybody about it. So for us, that's part of the fun, too, is connecting those dots and seeing those shared experiences.
Well, there's so much interest in it. You actually have tours every month, correct?
We do. Actually, this today is the fourth anniversary of our first quote-unquote ghost tour, which was in 2010, Halloween night.
And when you take one of these tours, do you go all over Music Hall?
Actually, we'll take a group of 40 people. Through all of Music Hall, which is actually three separate buildings, our ballroom, backstage, the workshops, Corbett Tower, Critics Club, down the well-known freight elevator, which has quite an interesting history in and of itself.
The freight elevator.
When they first installed that in 1927 and dug out the foundations to install the hydraulics, they found the remains of 63 bodies.
Oh, my goodness.
At the time, they pretty quickly understood those came from the pauper cemetery. And at the time, the appropriate thing to do was to put them back where you found them. So they authorized the construction of what could only be described as a crypt and concreted it over, which was fine until the 80s when they had to repair the hydraulics, busted into the foundation, and found the remains of 63 bodies. Nobody remembered where that had come from. So they called in the police, the coroner, a forensic pathologist to try and figure out whether it was a crime scene. Took them a little while in the 80s to go through the newspaper records and say, this came from the 20s and these were remains from the pauper cemetery.
Still a very strange story.
Oh, yes.
Giles is calling from downtown. Good afternoon, Giles. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Although we live in Cincinnati, we built a cabin out about 50 miles east of here on Eagle Creek, which is just around Ripley, Ohio. And the cabin was built in 2006, so it's essentially fairly new. Shortly after we built it, my wife and I were staying there, and we had the feeling, I think we were sitting there reading, we had the feeling someone was kind of reading over our shoulder.
Ooh.
And this went on for several days, and or several evenings, and then someone called my name, which is not a particularly usual name in America, Giles. And then a little later on, a few days later, I noticed there was a small child at the top of the staircase. There's a spiral staircase in this cabin. And there's a small child there. You just saw it with your peripheral vision. But when you turned to look, it didn't seem to be there anymore. It didn't vanish in a flash or anything spectacular. It just seemed to melt away. And this went on for several months, if not. And then it became... it wasn't every night. It may be once or twice a month or something like that. And then it disappeared for about 4 years, and we were rather sad about that. Anyway, luckily, in the last year...
You missed it.
It seems to be back. Doesn't seem to be in the least bit malevolent. And my wife and I have both seen it. And it's just a child, and it's a sort of brownie color, almost no color at all. And but you can't see it distinctly enough to see what clothes it wears or anything like that. But and we still feel there, he, she, or it is reading over our shoulders from time to time. So
I was always told that was a rude thing to do. Don't read over somebody else's shoulder.
Giles, I bet you could do a great Boris Karloff impersonation. With your wonderful voice.
Giles, thank you for...
I don't normally believe in ghosts, but I have to admit I believe in this one.
Giles, thank you. We appreciate you sharing that story with us. Let's talk with Sandra, who is in the Incline District. Hi, Sandra. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing very good. Thank you. I was just reading today, actually, in a Delhi Press. My aunt gives me her papers. I think it's about a week old or so. But there's a house in Price Hill. And they interviewed the woman who is now older, and she lived there with her mother and grandmother. And they wouldn't give the address because there are people living in the house today, and I guess they don't want a lot of, you know, people going over there and staring and bothering the residents. But there was a ghost that lived there. It was an elderly gentleman. He had a long beard, and he would play tricks on him. At one point, he stole the grandmother's dentures and never did return them.
A ghost with a sense of humor.
He would remove things and put other things in its place. And they rented the upstairs to a lady who said she came home one night and her bathtub was full of mud. And she shortly thereafter moved out. She wondered if there had been any other strange happenings, and they told her about the ghost, so she didn't last long. She was out of there.
Prankster ghost.
You know, I haven't heard that story, and I'm curious. I'd like to know where the address is.
I think Rick would, too.
Yeah, I've never heard that story either, but I'll have to look
into
that.
Work on that, Rick.
Yeah.
Sandra, thank you.
I'll have to look at your website. I'll send you the author's name, the columnist who wrote the story. You know, she might have some more information.
Yeah, please do. Thank you.
Sandra, thanks for sharing your story with us. We appreciate it. And let's talk with Brett in Fort Thomas. Good afternoon, Brett. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Great. Having a good Halloween.
No doubt. Happy Halloween. My story, back, I was in college from 2000 to 2004-5, and I did a victory lap. But to make money for books, I worked at a cemetery in Fort Thomas, weed whacking in the summer, and mowing. And my experience, I never really gave much credence to necessarily ghosts, especially during the day, because we'd have to move stones to bury people and mow around things. My experience, though, was I was just showing some friends where I worked, and we were walking in the evening hours just through the cemetery and through one of the old sections of St. Mary's, St. Stephen's, and I saw that there was a plywood marker that had just a Sharpie scrawl of this old, like, where this person was buried, and it was in the mower's way, and so I had just moved it out of the row, and there was some dead grass underneath. And as my friends and I left, you know, I was thinking of the people I work with. And as I left, I got sort of this worse and worse feeling. And I went back and put it back, and the feeling went away. And I sort of concluded to myself that if there are spirits in the graveyard, they understand that we're mowing and doing stuff during the day, but you're just not supposed to mess with stuff after hours. So that's my St. Stephen's experience. There are a lot of stories in Fort Thomas of people jump, like ghost visions of people jumping off of a house near the YMCA and the axe murder that happened at the bottom of Tremont and Grand Avenue. But those are just that's my only actual, like, visceral experience, I guess you could say, in Fort Thomas. So,
okay.
That's all.
Thanks, Brett. We appreciate you sharing that with us. Let's talk with Zach and Over the Rhine. Hi, Zach.
Hi. Happy Halloween, guys.
Likewise.
Hey, so I guess mine is more of a question or asking for more of an elaboration on a Springgrove Cemetery story that I was told about. Well, we would do campouts during Boy Scouts there. It's a story about a train conductor. The train conductor had apparently derailed in the cemetery or around the cemetery and is buried there. And on his headstone, there's supposed to be some either glass eyes or his actual eyes are...
Charles Brewer.
Oh, Phil knows this.
Charles Brewer. Well, the story's in my new book. the rumor is that the eyes on – it's a marble – or a beautiful bronze portraiture bust of Mr. Brewer, and the eyes look absolutely real. And some people think that they're his real eyes. Of course they're not, because they'd be in horrible condition by now from the 1800s. But they're made out of glass. I hadn't heard the train conductor association with Mr. Brewer, though. I like that story, though, because we did have a train that went through the cemetery for a long time.
Well, the story was that the kids used to flatten pennies on the rail.
Yeah.
And the train derailed after somebody put too many pennies on the rail.
Oh. Oops.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, I do too. Zach, thanks for the call. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Zach.
Let's talk with Gene in Forest Park. Good afternoon, Gene. You're on Cincinnati Edition. Gene, are you still with us? I think Gene was calling because she had a question about a story of a tape recorder in the cemetery and catching some creepy sounds. Does that ring a bell with you, Phil? No.
No, I'd love to hear those.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we've lost Gene. Our apologies, Gene. Rick, I have a question as far as what part of Cincinnati do you think is the creepiest? What generates the most creepy stories? Is there one area?
Anywhere down around.
Are we just pretty prolific all the way around?
Yeah, I mean, there's stories all around town, but you get most of the ghost stories I hear about come from across the river, Bobby Mackey's. I hear a lot about Music Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Next door to Music Hall, Memorial Hall. I've heard a few out of there. It just seems like most of the stories come from down this part of town here. So.
And Scott, if people want to find out more about the Music Hall tours, how do they get information on that?
They can visit our website, cincinnatiarts.org, and we our tours are sold out through the end of the year, through December, but we're going to be adding tours in January, February, March very shortly. So those who are interested will be able to look at the site and pick a date that works for them.
And we also
You had 7 tours last night?
No. Tonight's an unusual night. Typically, we'll only do 2 tours on a Friday night once a month. If activity permits us and we have the opportunity. Tonight, because it's Halloween, because we were just featured on Ghost Hunters a few nights ago, we've doubled down and we've tried to create as wide a window as for as many people to participate and experience it as we can. So we'll actually have 7 tours tonight.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, Scott, Rick, thank you for joining me this afternoon. Phil Nuxall is historian, author, and tour director at Spring Grove Cemetery. Scott Santangelo is director of operations at Music Hall. And Rick Fenvers, who investigates rumors of supernatural activities around town and reports them on his website, Creepy Cincinnati. After the break, we'll talk about the psychology of fear, why so many of us like a good scare every now and then.